Good morning, WLLY listeners. This is Brother Amen Dave Moran. The Amen Corner is on the air again. We'll have some good singing and music, as well as some old-time preaching. Amen. You can listen to WLLY anywhere you want to by going to WLLYradio.com. And it's all one word, WLLYradio.com. And just follow the instructions. This program is part of my personal ministry to see God's Word glorified. If I can plant a seed in your heart or water a seed already there, I pray God will give the increase. To God be the glory. Amen. So here is today's program. Praise the Lord. This is Brother Dave Moran, and tomorrow will be Easter Sunday. And in keeping with that, I've got a song that I'm going to sing here. It's called I Know That My Redeemer Lives. So it was published first in 1775, written by Samuel Medley. Quick math, woo, it's over 200 years old.
I know that my Redeemer lives. Oh, what sweet joy this sadness gives. He lives, he lives, who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. He lives all glorious in the sky. He lives exalted there on high. He lives to bless me with his love. He lives to plead for me above. He lives my hungry soul to feed. He lives to have in time of need. He lives to grant me rich supply. He lives to guide me with his eye. He lives to comfort me when faint. He lives to hear my soul's complaint. He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to wipe away my tears. He lives to calm my troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. He lives my kind, wise heavenly friend. He lives and loves me to the end. He lives, and while he lives, I'll sing. He lives, my prophet, priest, and king. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives all glory to his name. He is my Jesus, still the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Praise the Lord. Our next song is one of my favorites. It's Who at My Door is Standing. The wonderful thing about this song, it tells of Jesus. He said, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open that door, I'll come in to him, and we'll sup with him, and he with me, and we will abide together. Praise the Lord. People are worried even about this eclipse that we're going to have around April the 8th. They keep saying there's a solar eclipse, which probably will happen. I've seen them before. I believe there was one in 2017 that happened around here. I remember it was quite beautiful in its own way. I remember standing under an oak tree and the light filtering down through the oak tree cast its shadow on the ground, but through the leaves there were little crescents of that. It was a partial eclipse that we had, and I think it's going to be here. It'll be another partial eclipse, so I'm sort of looking forward to that coming up April the 8th. But some people are fearful of it. They're fearful that something's going to happen, that maybe communications will break down, that the power grid may go out, and all kind of worries and things, all because of an eclipse coming. You know, but there is a feeling, I mentioned it last week in the program, that there's a feeling that something is going to happen, something big. We had the great collapse of the bridge in Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, came down. That was certainly alarming. And there seem to be so many things like that that are going about, and people are being concerned with them. But I wonder what's going on in people's minds. As I remember last week, I talked about the Lord, how he was at the well, Jacob's well, in the city of Sychar, and he met the woman at the well there, the famous story in John, I believe it is, where he had to go through Samaria, and the woman knew about the Messiah. She was the one that told the Lord the Messiah cometh, and like I said, she went into town. She went and got the men and said, come see a man that told me everything that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And the amazing thing is, they didn't have to say, well, what are you talking about, the Christ? And what are you talking about, the Messiah? They all, the men in town, expected that a Messiah was coming. Somebody had gone through there, and the Lord talks about it after the story. He tells his disciples, he says, other men have come and sown, they've sown seed, and you're coming in to do the harvest. He said, here, and is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth, and they were sent to reap. He said to look on the harvest at that time, that the fields were white unto harvest. And I believe I mentioned it, and I notice it yet today, that the fields don't seem to be white to harvest. Yet all these fears are there. The people are afraid that something's going to happen. Some people believe that the Lord's coming, and I'm one of them. He said that things would be like this. There would be false teachers in this day, and it would be like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot with Sodom and Gomorrah. And those things are all happening. And it's like the days of Noah. People saying, well, where is the promise of his coming? All things are continuing the way they've ever been. And where is his promise? And like Peter, when he talks about that, he says that people don't realize that a thousand years is as one day with the Lord, and one day is as a thousand years, meaning that that God looks at time way differently. He created time, for sure. He made it for us, but he is not bound by time. One day can be as a thousand years. That means that we want God right away. We want him to help us right now, but he's got plenty of time. He can look at time where he'll always be right on time with what he needs to do. One day is as a thousand years. I mean, he's got time to do other things. He's got time to take care of everyone on this earth. He's got a thousand years, you know, to do things that needs to be done in one day. You know, it's amazing, but it's true. You'll find that God will never be late, and what he says he'll do, and he watches over his word to fulfill it. But I wonder, and I'm kind of worried about the churches. I see empty pews in the churches, all the good churches I know, those that are preaching the truth. Where are all those concerned people? What are they concerned about? Do they care about their own soul? Do they realize that time is running short, that they have to do something? They can't just sit around and wait for things to happen. There's things that they need to do. Like our songs said, the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart, and you need to open that door. You need to allow him in. Yes, he will rebuke and chasten at times when we need it, but he does that to every child of his. He does that work for all of us, and he does it because he loves us. He cares about us. He cares what we do. He cares how we think. He cares what we say to one another. He cares what we do one to another. He wants us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and he wants us to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And he's concerned about those things. He
He created us in His image, and He has a right to expect the best from us. If we're created in His image, and if He's saved us, He's caused us to be born again, then He has a right to expect us to do that which is good. It's only fair. But where are the people now? Where are the worried souls? You know, it said it'd be like the days of Noah, but you know that days of Noah there were only 8 people saved. And in the days of Lot, I was hearing the story of Lot just the other day, and it was just Lot and his 2 daughters and his wife, and his wife didn't even make it. She was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back from behind Lot as they were fleeing to Zoar, another city. And I wondered myself, I wondered if she saw maybe fire on the wall of the city. She was running toward the city, and she probably saw a flash of fire on the wall. Just my imagination, maybe. But somehow she turned around when she shouldn't have. And Jesus even says in the last days, remember Lot's wife. He said to remember her, and don't do like she did, you know, turning and looking back. We need to do things. We need to come. We need to come to church. We need to present ourselves to the Lord. We need to be there. We need to pray for these days. We need to pray for our loved ones. What are you going to do about your lost loved ones? Are you just going to let them go on and meet the Antichrist? What are you going to do? What are we going to do as a people? You know, I sometimes wonder, we have all these leaders in our government, and they're doing wrong, but we voted for them. I didn't, maybe, but somebody did. People, they voted them in, and maybe from the things that they did in the thoughts of their heart, maybe they deserve those leaders. You know, maybe they deserve people that'll rob them and take from them and promise them everything and give them nothing. Maybe we deserve people like that. I worry about people. Where are they? What are they doing today? When are they going to come around? Are they going to wait till the last minute to give their heart to the Lord? What is their plan? Even the story of the 10 virgins, there were 5 that were wise and 5 were foolish. You know, and are they purposely trying to be among the foolish? What are they doing? Why are their lamps not trimmed? Why is there no oil in their vessel? And you've got to get the oil from God. You can't just make it yourself. You've got to get that oil. And God, the Spirit of God, is the source of that spiritual oil that we need. It's an anointing that we need. We need to know God. We need to receive of God. We need to hear His Word spoken. We need to read the Word ourselves and to understand. Where are the people today? Where are they? Why are the pews empty? Why are people laying out? Why are they doing everything they want to do? Are they just struggling in this world and trying to cope with inflation, trying to cope with their low wages and trying to get more and trying to work 2 jobs or 3 jobs? What are they doing in today's world? Just what exactly is going on? I'm so glad that I got saved when I was 30 years old. I wished I'd gotten saved sooner myself, but I'm so glad that the Lord saved me back in 1977. That's the year that bridge was opened up that came down. That Francis Scott Key Bridge was opened in 77. They say it was started in 72, and it'll take them a while to replace that bridge. All that may be. And all during the life of that bridge, I was a Christian, you know, praise God, from 77 till now. And that bridge came down, but praise God, you know, God made a bridge. He made a path. He made a way to get into heaven. He made a way through the cross. We can come to Him. He is that bridge. The bridge is still open for us today. It's not been taken down. There's a way that we can go. And His name is Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, we've got to come to Him. He is still available. and where are the people, you know, and that's one bridge that if you cross it, you will be safe. It will never come down while you're crossing that bridge. He will keep you. He made a way to heaven. The song says, what a mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Indeed, he spoke of the man, the rich man, and Lazarus. The rich man was died and was buried, and in hell lifted he up his eyes, and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and said, bid Lazarus, I pray, to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham had to tell him, not so, my son, you know, in your life you had those good things, and likewise Lazarus had evil things, but now he's comforted and you're tormented. He wouldn't give anything to Lazarus while he was alive. He wouldn't share any of his goods. Lazarus was desirous to be fed of the crumbs that fall from the master's table, as it were, the rich man's table, but he never got it, and it says he died, and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. But what are we doing today? What are you waiting for? What are we waiting on? I know a lot of people, they're shut in, they're quite elderly, or they're sick, or some reason that they're afflicted, they can't go, they can't come to church. There's reasons for that, and God understands all of that. You're listening to the program now. Maybe there's a reason you can't get to church, but there are people that will be willing to drive you to church. I believe there should be, anyway. In a good Christian church, there should be some way that you can get to church. In the old days, they used to club together and all come together in one car, bring a carload. They would stop by. I remember hearing stories from the 30s and 40s. They couldn't get gas. The war was on, maybe, or there was gasoline rationing during the war. Certainly, maybe it'd be like the 40s, I suppose. But they couldn't get gas, and they had to club together. Maybe even ride a horse, you know, or a horse and buggy to church. But that was those days. But what? We've got all these conveniences today. What are we doing with them? What is it? I remember one time when I got saved, I was willing to ride a bicycle to church, but somebody loaned me their car to drive. They had an extra car. That you don't see that very often. But I was given a car. My car was wrecked. It wasn't wrecked. It was just the motor wore out, and I needed another car. I was in the process of getting one. I had to get the money from my mother, as a matter of fact. Back when I was 30, she loaned me some money. I ended up driving a Volkswagen Bug, which I was able to get. And it was fun to drive, I admit that. It was kind of like riding a roller coaster in Michigan. I was riding that old Volkswagen. But I got to church with it. It didn't last, that Volkswagen. There's a lot of things that went along with that story. I was losing a house that I had purchased. Well, I had it built, and that house, the land bank was going to foreclose on me. But just in the nick of time, that's when I got saved, and the Lord moved on the situation. That house sold just in time. I got money, and I remember buying a brand new 1977 Ford pickup. And I got a Ford pickup truck, it was the F-100, and I had a job that opened up miraculously back in Dearborn, the Ford Motor Company. I was hired to repair their computer graphic equipment, and it was a wonderful thing. It was back in it was 1978, actually, when I started working there. I moved back in with my mother in Detroit, and I drove every day from there, the west side of Detroit, into Dearborn, and it was just quite a wonderful job for me. There was a lot of opposition. I was the only Christian on the job, mostly. There was one man that that got saved there. He come in and he had been saved, but he backslid. Well, he was there. They got him out and got him drinking. And the man that got him drinking, they drove him back from the bar. And the fellow that they made backslide, he threw up in the man's new car. And I said, well, good enough for you. You take people and cause them to backslide like that, you need to have them throw up in your car. But that was a rough time. It was a rough time in my life. I'm glad I'm living in North Carolina. I come down here in 1989. Praise God. But I'm so happy to live in the Bible Belt. But where are the people? We're living in the Bible Belt, yes, but why are the churches so empty? Why do people not see the need? I wish they would. I wish the fields were white unto harvest. We have missions overseas. We have people overseas in Africa and India. There's some preachers over there that are preaching, and miracles are happening over there. Remember the teaching of Jesus. He went back to Nazareth, and it was said that he couldn't do many miracles there because of their unbelief. And he said, an adulterous and wicked generation seeks after a sign, but there'll be no sign given save the sign of the prophet Jonas, that he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, and then he came out, and the Lord was in the earth for 3 days, and he rose again. Praise God. Easter morning, he rose up. Praise the Lord. That's what we have. That's the only sign we have. Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. Praise God. If you believe that he's alive, if you believe that he's risen, what are you doing? Or did you go to church today? Are you planning to go to church tomorrow? What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? How many years do you think you have left? You know, you've got to do something. You've got to come to him. You've got to repent of your sin. If you're sinning, you need to get out of that. You need to come to him. You need to ask to be born again. You got to take care of things. You got to straighten things out. Let him do it. You know, you can't do it on your own. You've got to come to him. He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He'll give you rest from all the concerns, all the fears of this world. Like I say, he takes care of it for me. He cares for me. I care for him. I love him because he first loved me. And it says to cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
This has been the Amen Corner radio program with Dave Moran. This program is on the air each Saturday from 10:30 to 11. Thank you all for tuning in. If you're looking for a home church or a church to visit, come to our services here at Harbor Light Holiness Church on Highway 42 East, just about 2 miles from Wilson, on the left-hand side, just past Tarts Mill Road. Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m., and evening service is at 6 p.m. Our midweek service is at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays, so you can come and visit. Brother Irvin Lewis is our pastor. He'll be very happy to see you there.